Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Anatomy of an Epidemic: Magic Bullets, Psychiatric Drugs. And the Astonishing Rise of Mental Illness in America is a 2010 work of investigative nonfiction by journalist Robert Whittaker. The book examines a central paradox in modern American psychiatry: psychiatric drugs became widely available and increasingly prescribed. Yet the number of people disabled by mental illness also rose sharply over the same period. Whittaker reviews the history of antipsychotics, antidepressants, benzodiazepines, and other psychotropic medications, then compares short-term symptom relief with evidence about long-term outcomes. His purpose is not simply to criticize medication, but to question the dominant assumption that these drugs correct known chemical imbalances in the same way that medicines treat many infectious or metabolic diseases. The book combines medical history, scientific literature review, policy critique, and patient-centered reporting. It remains influential because it challenges readers to distinguish temporary clinical benefit from durable recovery and to reconsider how mental health systems define successful treatment. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the disability paradox at the center of modern psychiatric treatment. Whittaker begins from a measurable social question rather than a purely theoretical dispute. Why did psychiatric disability rise in the United States after the introduction and expansion of modern psychotropic drugs? The book focuses especially on the period after the late 20th century, when antidepressants, atypical antipsychotics, stimulants, and mood stabilizers became common in both adult and child treatment. Whittaker argues that the standard story of progress is incomplete if increased prescribing does not correspond to reduced long-term impairment. His reasoning depends on separating acute symptom management from population-level outcomes. Now, a drug may reduce distress, agitation, insomnia, or psychosis in the short term, yet still fail to improve, or possibly worsen, the probability of sustained functioning over years. This distinction makes the book different from simple arguments for or against medication. Whittaker is asking whether a treatment system built around chronic drug use can unintentionally produce more chronic illness. The disability paradox gives the book its investigative structure, because every later chapter returns to the same test: have psychiatric drugs reduced the burden of mental illness? Or has the burden expanded despite their promise? Secondly, how the magic bullet metaphor shaped public trust in psychiatric drugs. A major historical thread in the book is Whittaker's account of how psychiatric medications came to be understood as disease-specific remedies. He describes the early discovery of major classes of drugs as partly accidental, with compounds first noticed for sedating, energizing, or calming effects rather than for correcting a proven disease mechanism. The phrase "magic bullets" matters because it borrowed prestige from other areas of medicine, where targeted treatments could be linked to identifiable pathogens or biological deficiencies. Whittaker argues that psychiatry gained public authority by presenting drugs as if they repaired discrete chemical abnormalities, even when the causal biology of mental disorders remained uncertain. This does not mean the drugs had no real effects. Rather, the effects were interpreted through a simplified medical narrative. The book is especially critical of popular chemical imbalance explanations for depression and schizophrenia, arguing that these theories were often promoted beyond the strength of the evidence. By reconstructing this history, Whittaker shows how language, marketing, and professional aspiration can convert symptom-altering drugs into presumed corrective treatments in the public mind. Thirdly, the iatrogenic hypothesis and the problem of long-term outcomes. The book's most controversial claim is that psychiatric drugs may contribute to long-term disability for some patients, creating an iatrogenic pattern in which treatment itself becomes part of the illness trajectory. Whittaker develops this argument by reviewing studies and historical comparisons that he believes show better recovery rates before widespread chronic medication, or better outcomes in settings where drugs are used more selectively. He also discusses the idea that the brain adapts to psychotropic drugs, for example by changing receptor sensitivity or neurotransmitter regulation, which may make withdrawal difficult and relapse more likely after discontinuation. This argument is not the same as saying that every patient is harmed or that medication is never necessary. Whittaker acknowledges that drugs can be useful, particularly in crisis or short-term stabilization. The dispute concerns what happens when temporary symptom suppression becomes indefinite maintenance. Critics of the book argue that Whittaker gives too much weight to selected studies and underestimates confounding factors such as diagnostic expansion, social stress, and severity differences. Even so, the book forces a serious methodological question: evidence for short-term efficacy cannot automatically be treated as evidence for lifelong benefit. Fourthly, pharmaceutical influence and the construction of psychiatric consensus. Whitaker places clinical practice within a broader institutional system that includes pharmaceutical companies, professional psychiatry, academic research, regulators, and public messaging. He argues that drug companies did more than sell products. They helped shape the categories, explanations, and expectations through which mental illness was understood. Marketing campaigns, sponsored research, continuing medical education, and expert networks could reinforce the belief that expanding drug use represented scientific progress. The book is especially attentive to the way financial incentives can narrow the range of acceptable questions. If a disorder is framed primarily as a lifelong biochemical malfunction, then long-term medication appears logical, and non-drug forms of care can seem secondary or insufficiently modern. Whitaker does not present this as a single conspiracy, but as an alignment of interests that made medication-centered psychiatry dominant. This analysis is important because it connects individual treatment decisions to policy and culture. Patients and clinicians often make choices inside systems already shaped by reimbursement rules, diagnostic manuals, advertising, and research priorities. The result, in Whitaker's view, is a mental health model that may overvalue pharmacological intervention while undervaluing social support, time, and functional recovery. Lastly, selective medication use and the appeal of relationship-based alternatives. Although the book is known for its critique of psychiatric medication, it also points toward alternative models of care. Whitaker discusses approaches that emphasize social connection, careful listening, family involvement, and minimal or selective drug use, with Finland's Open Dialogue often cited as an example. The significance of such models is not that they reject medicine entirely, but that they make medication one tool among many rather than the organizing center of treatment. In this framework, recovery is measured less by symptom scores alone, and more by restored agency, relationships, employment, education, and participation in ordinary life. Whitaker's interest in these alternatives reflects a practical implication of his research question: if long-term drug-centered treatment does not consistently produce durable recovery, mental health systems should study models that do. This topic also reveals the book's humane dimension. It treats people diagnosed with serious mental illness not merely as carriers of disorders, but as persons whose outcomes depend on environment, expectations, and support. The argument remains debated, yet it broadens the conversation from whether drugs work to when, for whom, for how long, and within what kind of care. In conclusion, Anatomy of an Epidemic is best suited for readers who want a critical, evidence-oriented examination of psychiatric practice rather than a conventional overview of mental disorders. It is especially relevant for mental health professionals, policy analysts, medical students, patients, family members, and readers interested in pharmaceutical influence on medicine. Its practical value lies in the questions it teaches readers to ask: whether benefits are short-term or long-term, whether recovery is defined by symptom reduction or restored functioning, and whether treatment systems leave room for non-drug supports. The book should not be used as a substitute for clinical advice, and readers taking medication should interpret its claims with professional guidance. Its intellectual benefit is that it exposes assumptions often hidden in ordinary discussions of psychiatry, particularly the idea that psychotropic drugs correct proven chemical defects, compared with many books in the mental health category. It stands out because it combines historical reconstruction, scientific controversy, institutional critique, and reporting on alternative care models. It is more investigative than a self-help book, and more accessible than a technical psychiatric review. Whether one accepts all of Whitaker's conclusions or not, the book remains important because it frames psychiatric progress as an empirical question rather than an inherited certainty. If you would like to support Robert Whitaker, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.